This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
It's the day before 4th of July, 2019, and we'd like to wish everyone in the U.S. a great 4th. God bless our beautiful country. Today's show is dedicated to the godfather. You can call him the grandfather of vision training, but you know me. I like to use the word godfather. A great person, teacher, father. He was the master of his craft when people were afraid to delve into vision in baseball over 45 years ago. The years of the Kansas City Baseball Academy. What a super individual. Dr. Bill Harrison sadly recently passed away on May 4th after a long battle with cancer. And boy, did he battle it. What a tough guy he was. We will never forget him. A fighter for sure. Ryan, his son, will continue his legacy. And we're going to have Ryan on the show. But just wanted to dedicate this show to Dr. Bill Harrison. Again, never to be forgotten. We're going to talk a little bit about him. And also want to tell you a real quick story just to give you a little background about him. I'm going to tell you about when I was at the ABC, how I first met Dr. Harrison, and gives you an idea of the person he was. You know, I met him at the ABC, but how I met him, I was at breakfast and with a friend of mine, ABC Hall of Famer Terry Ayers, we're sitting at breakfast, and I was telling Coach Ayers about an article recently about, you know, vision, because vision is so important, and about this guy called Dr. Bill Harrison. I'm telling him this, and lo and behold, I didn't know. He was sitting right next to me at breakfast on the table over. He heard us talking. That's how we met. The rest is history. I got to tell you, for not knowing me a long time, he promoted me. He called people about me. He was always on my side. Not sure why. I think just because he's just a super person. So God bless him. Rest in peace. Our friend, Dr. Bill Harrison. Again, this show is dedicated to him. Hello, everybody. In the U.S. and around the world, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, and this is Baseball Outside the Box, the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Don't forget, send me emails if you have any questions, Peter Caliendo. Also, check me out on YouTube under Peter Caliendo. You can check out Baseball Tips of the Day. All right, so let's get rolling with one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business. Ryan Harrison of Slow the Game Down continues the importance of vision training on this show. We think it's so important. We've had Ryan on a few times. We just think vision is the key. It starts here. Ryan has trained athletes in all sports for over 20 years, Olympic athletes in baseball. He works with some of the top colleges, top major league teams. Him and his dad were featured on a great episode of MLB Network. Check that out on his website, which is slowthegamedown.com. He's also an ISG baseball instructor. He travels the world for us, and we want to thank him so much for doing that and training coaches all over the world. His bio will be on the show notes, so let's get rocking and rolling. This is Baseball Outside the Box, and let me welcome Ryan Harrison. Ryan, how you doing, my friend?
Good, Pete. Thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy it.
It's always a pleasure having you on. And again, you know, our condolences, you know, your dad, I know it's only been since May 4th, and we really thank you for jumping on the show. I know they're not easy times.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And listen, I do want to start, and I think because, you know, your dad was a teacher, you know, a great father, a great person. You know, you got a chance, obviously, to, you know, be with him for a very long time since you were born. But you also work together in the industry. And I think it'd be great if you could just share with us a couple things that you took from him that really were impactful, whether, you know, as a coach or teacher and what you do to help our coaches around the world and in the U.S., you know, become better at what they do.
Well, I think I'm very blessed to have a unique opportunity to work with him. And, you know, like most sons, including my own sons, we never listen to dad until someday we wake up and go, hey, dad really does know something. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me is he asked me to come work with him. My degree is exercise physiology. I was doing some other stuff. And 20 years ago, he said, hey, Ryan, come to spring training with me. So I went with him and I immediately saw the impact that he had on the players. At the time, we worked with the Royals, with the Braves, and the Cincinnati Reds at the time. And it was fun to watch. And I said, you know what, Dad, I think you got something. I think you need some help. And not sure I was the best help, but over 20 years, I learned definitely a lot. And, you know, I think some of the things I learned is to listen, to listen to what the players were, you know, were asking for, or what their issues were, what they needed. And I think the other was not to take credit. You know, that was always, you know, be humble, be, you know, you're in their space. You give them, you know, the nuggets that you need, and you help them to succeed, but it's them that, you know, that have to take it. And there are times that, you know, I've seen players that they weren't ready for the information. And then there are times that they came back 5 years later and said, you know what, that nugget you gave me really, really helped me. And so just being, you know, being there, and I feel lucky to have learned from him. People ask me all the time, you know, where do you get your resource? Where do you, what books do you read? What information? And I kind of laugh because I'm kind of lucky. I get to learn from the guy who did it for all these years and was on the lines. He wasn't in the school writing books. He was out there working with the athletes and trying new stuff and throwing things away and challenging, you know, the norm and trying to figure out a new method to be able to help these guys be more successful.
You know what, folks, and I got to tell you, you know, he preached, you know, what he preached, he actually did, because, man, was he a great listener. I mean, I can't remember sitting with him, and he would listen to me talk. And then the other thing is, he was so humble. He could get you to believe you were the best in what you did in that very short period of time that I got to know him. So just, you know, I can see where, you know, being with him helped you tremendously. And folks, I'll give you an example. John Schuerholz, president of Atlanta Braves, I see a quote here. These guys are the best in baseball at the single most important part of the game. That's what we're going to get into in a minute. Ryan, you know, one more thing about your dad. He also started in an era where vision wasn't even looked at when it came to the game of baseball. I remember reading his book about that. It was something where, you know, nobody was really looking at it. Now everybody seems to think it's one of the most important things. I seem to think and believe it's the most important thing.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny these days, all the, you know, people talking about sports scientists that they're hiring and all these, you know, the new research and all these things that are coming out, not just in vision, but everything else. And, you know, this is what they started in the 70s with the Kansas City Royals Baseball Academy. That was a very big research academy of trying new things and experimenting new things and collecting data, honestly, and developing athletes. And so it's kind of gone full circle that in the 70s they were doing this, but now with the knowledge, the equipment, the technology, they're still doing the same stuff. And it's all great stuff. I think when it comes to vision, you know, it is the, you know, a secret. It's a hidden gem. It's not what a lot of people like to talk about. And part of the reason is it's hard to classify. It's hard to put into a box and say, this person's this, this person's that. There's too many variety of issues, whether it's a clarity issue, whether it's a focus issue, whether it's a eye-hand coordination issue. There's so many variances to vision than just saying black and white. The guy can see or can't see. And so it's obviously been a fun run, and but it's still a challenge because it's different than what everyone else is talking about.
Awesome. Tell you what, I want to get into that exactly. And one more thing before we do, Ryan, I was reading about your dad. You started a fund for your dad in sports vision. Can you tell the audience about the fund? Because I know there's a lot of people on the show in the U.S. that listen to that know your dad, and I'd love for them to know about the special fund that you started in his name.
Well, he was a graduate from Cal Berkeley, played baseball there. He was a winning pitcher with still on the ERA list, which we laugh about. And then went to optometry school there. So he has a lot of love for Cal Berkeley. And so we've set up a memorial fund at Cal Berkeley Optometry School to develop a sports vision scholarship, sports vision grant to develop more sports vision knowledge actually out there. But we're basically at Berkeley. They're going to be building that center.
That's great. All right. We will also put that on our show notes. So if people want to donate to the fund, they can do that. All right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, anything we can do, Ryan, again, we appreciate everything you do for us. All right, let's go right into it. And, you know, you mentioned the variabilities. You know, I'm always on social media, and I've said this on many episodes, and maybe it's because we still maybe don't know enough about this after all these years. But, you know, I watch people talk about hitting, and some great people. And I watch others talk about fielding and pitching and throwing and, you know, the catching position, all these different skills. And I see practice organization, but I don't see them talking about vision within these particular fundamentals that you need to work on. Why do you think that people are afraid to get into it?
I think it's just something that's too foreign to people, that people think you see or you don't see. And, you know, even when it comes to sports psychology, and I know you and I have talked about this, as Ken Revisa, you know, people were afraid of it, and now mm-hmm. they're more open to it. They're more willing to ask the questions. They're more willing to talk about who they are and how they're, you know, and how their downfalls and stress and all those things that happen in the game. And so people are talking about that side of it more. When it comes to vision, I'm not sure people can always tie it into, well, my eyes didn't work right. But, you know, the pros, the major leaguers, the top NHL guys, the top tennis players, the top whatever sport you talk about, man, they have the greatest visual discipline and visual control. And it is a trainable feature. And I think sometimes vision gets a bad rap because they think, oh, does he have contacts on or does he not have contacts on? Or they, you know, a lot of people talk about eye-hand coordination is this ball is a new eye-hand coordination or this stick's a new eye-hand coordination. And they all may be features and parts of what vision is, but it's more complex than just a simple thing. And I think people are afraid to dive into the complexity of it.
Interesting. And I tell you what, I just had on last episode, Barry Husband, you know, the godfather of effective velocity. We were talking about effective velocity and pitching and hitting, you know, and I always go back and start thinking, that's awesome stuff. I love it. And I'm trying to study it even more. And then I keep thinking, well, but if I can't see it and I can't see it early enough, how am I going to identify it, where it's at velocity wise? You know, if I'm a hitter, if I can't see the catcher's glove, and, you know, and I don't have particular balance and whatever I need to accomplish a particular skill, you know, with vision, how am I going to accomplish that skill? And I always wonder, you know, where does it all start? You know, does the average baseball coach, whether it's a high school coach, college coach, are they able to help their players train for this? Or is this something that only the vision experts can do?
Well, I think it's all encompassing with a lot of people. And I think this is one of the things that, as I continue my father's legacy, is I'm trying, and we were trying over the last few years, but it's developing programs that are, I don't, for lack of a better word, say certification for coaches, for trainers, for doctors, because mm-hmm. it is for everyone. And it's not there's a piece of the pie that an optometrist that would, you know, needs to work on, and there's a piece of pie that a trainer should work on, and there's a piece of pie that the coaches should work on. You know, you can't expect the coaches to define what the quality of someone's vision is, but at the same time, you can't expect the doctor to understand what the demands of vision are in the sport. So trying to figure out a piece of how we could connect those is something that I'm very lucky that I was a part of. And you know, I'm biased to this is because that's what my dad taught me, is that he didn't think of as a doctor when he didn't need to think about as a doctor. When he did, he thought about the doctor stuff, the medical things and everything that relates. But when it came to performance, how do these eyes work? And a lot of people are taking on the body and how the lower half works or the upper half or the arm angles and all these different things. And it's easier to measure those external things. The eyes aren't as easy to measure because it's a lot of internal function that's going on. But once you learn to know how to look for the right things, learn how to encourage the right stuff, you know, usually the eyes tend to work for them. But, you know, there's all this great equipment out there. And I say great equipment, you know, no matter what it is, whether it's fitness, but when it comes to vision, some people have come out with some great things and they think it's the answer. Like, hey, if we do this, this is the answer. And more times than not, it might be the answer for one person, but it's not the answer for everyone. So everyone is very unique to their visual demands. And those visual demands need to be met by someone who understands what to be looking for. And there's more and more people learning and more people understanding those nuances.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's variables. So if I have three different players, each player could have something that he needs to work on that's completely different when it comes to vision. So kind of explain that a little bit. Maybe give some examples of one player, has a hard time with this when it comes to vision. Other players have a hard time with something else.
Yeah, well, I think I'm putting in threefold of what I look at is one is the first thing is the medical side of it, which is important. And there's many times I can tell you that an eye doctor has examined a player and they said they're fine, but they're not fine for their sport. They're fine for reading. They're fine for driving. So there is some you know, clarity issues that can happen. Now, I tell everyone that clarity is not the ultimate goal because you can see like an eagle, but it doesn't mean you can perform. But it's nice to have is, you know, like I tell people all the time, you want the best bat, you want the best shoes, you want the best equipment. Why wouldn't you want the best eyes? Get the best clarity that you can have to start out with. Now, beyond that, it's kind of the skills, how the eyes function, how the muscles of the eyes work, how the brain and the eyes interact, how you process visual information. And those are the skills that can be, you know, definitely variable between every athlete. You may have a guy that has great clarity of vision, but has horrible visual skills. You might have a guy that has not very good clarity or average clarity or okay clarity, but has great visual skills. And then the third part is really trying to figure out is their visual tactics, their techniques, and how they look at things and how they control their visual focus. And I use that visual focus. We all use the word focus. I know you've used it. I know mm-hmm. parents use it. We talk about focus, but you got to think about, you know, what is the task, whether it's a baseball player or any other athlete or you know, fireman or race car driver, whatever it is, what is the task that they need to do to be successful? And obviously in baseball, the first and foremost task is to see the ball. Because if they don't see the ball early or even late, their body's going to make a reaction that may not be as beautiful or as, or, you know, they're just defending themselves. And, you know, that's what happens as coaches is we tend to critique athletes when they're out of the zone, when they're not focused on the task, when they're visually not processing the information good. And so we want to change all these mechanics, which might be right for some of these guys. But again, if they're not recognizing it accurately, they're not going to react properly. So I think vision should be first and foremost. And, but you know, I in one way, we haven't done a good job of pushing that out there and marketing it out there and telling them that these things are things you should look for and ways to help them.
Absolutely. And I know it's important, you know, sleep is important, you know, nutrition's important.
Definitely.
Recovery is important. But again, I keep going back. I keep hearing these things, but I don't hear vision at the top. And to me, vision seems to be the number one thing, just from a common sense standpoint. Now, when you talk about seeing the ball and training for it, let's start with that a little bit. These are particular skills or training that needs to be done not only off the field, but also on the field. Am I heading in the right direction there?
Definitely. I think they should be encouraged on the field. I think they need to be done on their own. You know, some of the things that you can do are not the most exciting, sweat-inducing exercises. So people don't like to take up their practice time. But there's definitely some ways to make every drill or every training or every purposeful action on practice is including a visual, challenge to each one.
Well, I want to challenge our coaches all over the world and in the U.S., because, you know, you said something just right now. They don't want to waste their practice time. But if we're talking about vision being the number one skill to allow you to accomplish the skills that you're working on, if I'm getting ground balls, how else am I going to judge the ground balls, the hops, the direction of the ball, you know, when I'm supposed to come get it, when I'm, you know, when it's coming hard and I can stay there, how can I judge that without having the visual skills?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, errors happen as they happen in the big leagues. Mistakes happen. But when I look at it, I look at most of these errors or mistakes or misses as a first is a visual problem. What was the visual problem that related to making a bad decision or coming up on a ball or swinging and missing? Did they recognize it early enough? Did they process what they saw early enough? Did they make an accurate decision? And, you know, we work on those skill sets. But, you know, these pro guys, they're phenomenal athletes. They can do amazing things. And that's a longer story we can talk about down the road. But these younger athletes, they don't have those patterns built in. They need to be more highly visual to create those patterns so that down the road they can do those amazing things.
Ryan, majority of major league players, a combination of one, great genetics when it comes to vision and also training. So do you see most of these major league players? I know you've trained some, but do you think most of them focus a lot on visual training?
I think some of them are inherent. And I think, Peter, you know, here's the truth. Can you make it to the big leagues without having the greatest visual skills? Yes, you can. I've seen it over and over again. But I can tell you that I've seen more players more consistent, have more successful careers, or find another level of their playing ability when they have these visual skills. So sometimes I feel like guys that don't have them and make it, I'm like, oh man, if you just had this, you could take yourself to another level. And so, some people just have it and gifted. I mean, I can tell you players who have great depth perception, great quality of vision, and they swing at everything. And people say, well, they don't have no discipline, visual discipline. Well, you're right. They don't. They see everything like a beach ball all the time. So they're constantly swinging. And you got other guys who are just trying to catch up and just hopefully make contact on there. And you'll find guys who are smart enough to figure the game out that find another avenue to take their game to a level. But I'm biased again, as you know, is – man, if they can get their vision to be as perfect as can be, or their quality of vision or their visual skills is better, or their visual tactics better, it's only better arsenal for them to be more successful, more consistently.
Hey, man, I'm with you. And I'm thinking right now, launch angle, you know, I'm looking at, exit speed off a bat. I'm thinking of all this stuff, all this technology that we have when it comes to, you know, not seeing the ball, but understanding the swing and what level it should be at according to what angle of the release point and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's great technology, but where's the vision part come in? If these guys were working on vision even more, could you imagine how many better hitters we would have even at the big league level?
I think hitting's come a long way. I think it's always been good. I think it's been, you know, a different understanding in the past, but now people have so much knowledge and so much information, which is can be crippling to a lot of guys. At the same time, success is based off, you know, whatever you create success to be. If you want success to be, you know, 50 home runs and 250 strikeouts, that can be success for you. But for most guys, they want to be that connection. They want to, you know, hit the ball as hard as they can. They want to put the ball in space. And if you're off by, you know, an inch, or you're off by velocity by a few miles per hour, what you process, you're not going to get that angle that you want or that exit speed that you want. It's kind of funny. I laugh at, you know, there's some great stuff around with this exit velocity, but about 10 years ago, we were messing with exit velocity with some major league players and college players, and showing them how they control their vision can increase their exit velocity by 10%. I've done a bad job, Pete. I need to reenact that stuff and publish some things, and maybe we'll make vision hot by doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. And again, common sense. I see the ball better. I've got a better idea of the contact point, the angles. I mean, it helps me in so many ways. Now, Ryan, are you utilizing, you know, since we're on technology a little bit, are you utilizing technology to help baseball players when it comes to visual aspects, or is it mostly drills and mental training when it comes to that?
We definitely have a combination of stuff. I'm always testing out the latest and greatest new equipment that comes out, some that are not even in the sports world. In fact, we got some new equipment coming in this weekend that I'm pretty excited about to see how it relates to performance. And actually what happens, you kind of touched on it, is the fatigue factor. And it has to do with the fatigue factor and how eye movements change under certain fatigue and stress. And so we're going to be doing a little research on that. You know, we've brought in, we have the eye trackers that track the pupils of the eyes that are phenomenal to use. But honestly, the cost benefit of using them, you know, I can do a lot of more teaching and better instruction than having to show them what their eyes are looking at. So sometimes it's a waste of our time to put that together because it takes so long to do. But we use a lot of other technology too when it comes to vision, and even some of the ball exit speed and the swing analysis equipment, and we see of how the eyes function, how the eyes affect, and you know, really how to use it in performance. And that's kind of, you know, something my dad's always done without technology, but now with technology we can prove even more than what we were doing.
Excellent. And listen, can things like lack of sleep, other factors when it comes to your daily health affect vision? So in essence, that you've got to work on other things too to make sure that it's helping your vision?
Yeah, there are some things that can affect the vision, whether it's lack of sleep. You know, one of the things we pride a little bit on is getting the eye muscles and the eyes to function and the brain function under fatigue. So when we do a lot of training, we do a lot of things under fatigue. We have a new training center in Irvine, California, and we're joint force with a strength and conditioning facility. And what these pro athletes do is they work out hard, and in between sets, we are working their vision hard. So they're nonstop working on focus, vision drills while they're fatigued, while they're stressed, so that they can maintain their focus at late in the game, or even a lack of sleep or travel or anything like that. Now, I think nutrition and you know, all the sleep stuff they're doing is great. And, you know, all three of these things will help these guys focus a little bit better and control what their task is.
You know, we always tell young kids, I think I want to hit on this, and there's so much we can talk about, but I really want to hit on this. You know, I always tell young kids, listen, you're not wearing your sunglasses on top of your hat to look cool. You know, it's that's not going to make you a better player. For a couple of reasons, you're wearing your sunglasses, and I want you to tell me where I'm going, if I'm going in the right direction or if I should go in a different direction. But normally I tell them, hey, you know, you got your sunglasses for two reasons. One, obviously, to help you catch a fly ball that's in the sun, to block, you know, the sun a little bit. But two, to protect your eyes. I mean, isn't that important also?
Definitely. I've seen plenty of lenses that have been bent up by a baseball and leaving stitches on the mirror coatings. And if those players were not wearing them, they wouldn't be playing again. In fact, one that just happened that didn't talk much about, but is, I just went blank, the Nationals pitcher that just bunted and broke his nose. Right.
Yeah, Scherzer.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at, he was wearing glasses. Now, mm-hmm. I can't tell you for sure because I don't have a close enough angle, but those glasses might have saved a lot more damage that could have happened if he wasn't wearing those glasses. You know, his glasses went flying off, and if they weren't there, it might have hit him straight in the eye. And in all honesty, the glasses might have even been the reason why he broke his nose more than the ball. But there's a few players even in the big leagues that have been hit with a baseball in the eye and never come back due to the injury. So it's a risk to do that. So, you know, I would wear glasses if, for one, for the sun protection. And when we talk about the sun protection, a lot of people wear cheaper glasses because they can't afford it, which I understand. But sometimes those cheaper glasses are worse for them than the better glasses. And the reason I say that is, one, the lens may not be safety lens that may not protect them if it gets hit. The other is the quality of the UV protection may be poor, which can, when you wear a dark lens that doesn't have good UV protection, it opens up the pupil, which causes more sun damage in there. So obviously you want to get a good pair of UV protected sunglasses that have a high quality lens that will protect against any hitting the eye or the face.
So give us an example. What are they looking when it comes to UV protection? Is there some kind of number or anything that can help our when we're looking for this?
Yeah, I think, you know, any good quality glasses should have them. You know, obviously the two, I'd say three, is Under Armour and Oakley are two of the more mainstream glasses. Sure. And probably Nike as well has done a good job. But it's really just not buying the $10 glasses off the shelf at a on the, you know, the side rotator of your sporting goods store or you know, or whatever retail store that you're at. But you know, any reputable company, they're going to make good lenses. Any company that's a no-name brand, you're probably risking a little bit of it.
Okay. I love what you said about training under fatigue, because I'm thinking about, you know, more and more when it comes to practice organization in the game of baseball, we need to train more under fatigue, but also under pressure, under real situations. So when you're setting up your training, you're training visual aspects, but are you training them, when you say specifically for baseball, are they doing it while as they're hitting, as they're fielding a ground ball, or is it more vision training with certain apparatuses that you might have?
We do a combination of stuff. So what usually, let's say an hour training session with someone, and it changes over every session that we have, but on a typical is, if this is after the first time where we do more evaluation stuff, is we'll train some of the visual neurocognitive skill sets for a little while, for 15, 20 minutes. Then we'll work on some depth perception and eye muscle training for probably 10 minutes. And then we'll work on more eye-hand coordination kind of stuff that that incorporates whether it's hitting or whether it's fielding or throwing or tracking high velocity machines. So we use a high speed, small ball, wiffle ball machine. We use a ping pong ball machine, as you see on some of the videos we've done. And then we do some stuff off tees and we do stuff off live pitching, as well, and working on recognition skills and processing skills. Some of it. And then we also do some digital stuff too, as well.
Yeah, and folks, check it out, MLBnetwork.com, but go right to, slowthegamedown.com website, and you'll see the segment on MLB Network when Ryan and his dad were on the show. It is outstanding. You'll be able to actually pick up some drills. I have seen some of those drills and have utilized them. So your recommendation to coaches, okay? I know that, you know, they've got to study it, you know, and hopefully they'll check out your website and get a hold of you and learn more from you. But when you're at a practice, Give our coaches a little idea, a few things they can set up. I got it that, you know, in 2 hours they got to do other things, but like you just said, within that fielding part, they could do something that encompasses vision. Within that hitting part, they could do something. You mentioned one of the things that's tracking high velocity. You know, high velocity could be a pitching machine, or it can be throwing at short distances. Correct.
Yeah, we use a wiffle ball machine that throws about equivalent to about 100 miles an hour, and a small ball. So we're working on a challenge, visual challenge. But I think, you know, your question on helping the coaches, I think, you know, the biggest question I would always ask an athlete is, what are you looking at? What are you focused on? And that can answer a lot of questions and, you know, even mistakes. And, you know, if you think about, even as coaches, we all make mistakes too. And one mistake, and this is a simple one, is we're driving down the road and we forget to get gas where we were going. And it wasn't because they were blind. It wasn't because their clarity was off. It was because they lost focus on that visual task. They were focused on something else. And sometimes these players, they may be focused on issues at home or issues at school or you know, whatever, anything in life, or just butterflies, you know, for some of them. And you got to kind of create this game as, hey, my eyes are a laser beam and they need to be on that ball. And what can I do to create that? And whether it's a silly game or whether it's a deeper level of focus, is really challenging them and asking them, what were you looking at? What did you see? Instead of just say, hey, watch the ball. You know, that's what we hear. Keep your eye on it. No duh, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that. But how do you do it? And that's what most coaches struggle with, is they just look at it. But it's more than just looking. It's how we engage the vision, how we utilize the vision, and how we process that information. And if a player's never seen something before, they're not going to know what to do until we put them in those situations to understand all these nuances and what their task is visually first. Then they can make more accurate decisions on how they react to it.
You know, I love what you said, ask questions, because I'll tell you what, I've learned so much from you. One of the things I did with our good friends in BC Baseball in Vancouver, Canada, where I was out there and we were doing some workouts for high-performance players. And during the hitting, I saw some guys they would miss, you know, and not do very well. And one of the things I'd ask them is, you know, where are you looking at when the pitcher's releasing the ball? Where, you know, I wanted to ask them, where are they looking? And a lot of them didn't know. They just saw I'm just looking, you know. So give us an idea.
And if they know, the one time they give an answer that you ask them, do they do it all the time? And they say, I don't know. So they don't have a consistent plan. They do it every, they think they know, but they really don't know what they're doing.
So give us an idea. If I've got a hitter and I ask them, you know, just like just said, I ask, you know, what are you looking at? He doesn't have an answer. Now what do you do?
But I think I would want to ask what's the most important thing to be looking at. And they should say the ball, hopefully.
Yeah.
And so let's find a way to look at that ball properly. And, you know, this is a long conversation, but, you know, getting your eyes to the release point at the right time is part of it. Being in a, and you've heard these terms, soft focus, hard focus, which, I apologize to everyone. My dad brought up the term hard focus in the 70s to people, and people use it today, and I wish they would stop using it. It's not hard focus. It's fine focus. Hard focus is a negative focus. Hard is where we stare at something too long, and when we stare at something, we stiffen up, we tighten up. A soft is kind of the general look, just kind of generally seen. And a fine is when we see detail. And that's what we have to do, is we can't be in a fine very long. So we got to learn how to get into a fine at the right time to pick up the right information, which tells our brain where things are.
Interesting. Better. Ryan, if I'm an infielder or an outfielder and I'm getting ready for the pitch, give us an idea what they should be working on as far as where they should be looking. Is it an overall picture of the, you know, the pitcher and the hitter? Is it a focus or a, like you said, a fine focus, but at home plate? Does that change if you're playing positions because of angles? Give us an idea there where some of these players can do.
Well, I think this is kind of similar. Is most infielders are in a hard focus where they stare too long, and that's where they stiffen up and their reactions are too slow. Or they're in the soft focus where they're not looking in the right spot. Now they're just guessing where things are going to be. So being in that fine focus at the right time is the key, and also knowing where that place is, you know, where the contact point is. So where a third baseman, the contact point's going to be different than where a first baseman is. So getting their eyes to the contact point at the right amount at the right time is where they're going to pick up the angle. They're going to pick up more information, and they're going to be a lot quicker in their reactions. So a lot of guys have done this before on accident. They didn't know what they're doing, but they weren't paying attention. Then all of a sudden they just kind of switched their eyes to the contact point and they picked the ball up and made a great reaction. It's kind of what you really want to do, is you got to relax the body. You got to relax the eyes and then get the eyes to get right at the right place at the right time. And your body will be ready to react.
Ryan, and all these skills that we're talking about, the defense, the pitching, the hitting, the eyes move. The head doesn't necessarily do the moving, does it?
Well, you want the eyes to move first. You want the head to move second. And people that don't have very good visual skills can't handle much head movement. Guys that have high-quality vision, high-quality visual skills can handle more movement. There will be some kind of movement. You have to be careful when I say that, where, you know, the amount of angles, all these different things, because you're looking as a hitter at an angle. And if you have too much head movement and your head's turned too much, your brain won't see depth very well. If you have your head going up and down, your brain sits there and goes, oh, what the heck's going on? And you won't see very well. So there's some smooth movements of the head that will happen. But if in a coaching world, yeah, I try to get them not to move their head as much as you can. Get their eyes to move first. Get, like I said, get their head to move second. Same thing as an infielder. I see these people who are jumping up and down now and bouncing on their feet. Well, your brain doesn't like that for most people. And if we pound too hard into the ground, our brain's going, what the heck's going on? And it reduces our visual senses on there. So knowing how to control that, I don't know a good word right now, but it's almost like controlling the energy of different parts of your system and knowing how to get into that visual system energy at the right time is critical.
You know what? And I love that part. And I'll tell you why. You know, I was just thinking as you were mentioning that, I was thinking about, you know, catchers. And I've always wondered, now, I remember you talking one day, and I use this a lot. You talked about, you know, like in hitting, you don't start identifying the pitch on deck. You don't start, you know, when you're at home plate. You actually start when you're playing catch, because if you learn how to play catch properly by training yourself to seeing the ball coming out of the hands, you then train yourself better when you get to home plate. So vision training begins a lot more, a lot faster, a lot quicker in other areas, not just in the area that you're working on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it becomes that visual attention, and knowing how to put that visual attention at the right time is key. And you could, you know, we're talking baseball, but you can look at any sport, whether it's skiing, whether it's archery, whether it's shooting, whether it's like I said, motor racing. Those things, if those eyes aren't relaxed, they're not in the right place, they're not controlled, chaos happens. And it will happen. It happens all the time in every sport. But the guys who can control that visual lack of chaos are guys who are successful, more consistent, and take their game to another level.
Outstanding. Love it. And then how about this one? Let me throw you a curveball. I have no idea where I got this, but I'm thinking catchers. Okay, I brought the word catchers earlier. Now, catchers are catching a lot of baseballs every game, every day. And what they've got to do is look at, I mean, it's got to be important. They've got to be able to identify the pitch early, even though they know the pitch is coming. But they think it's going to be to one location. It's not always to that location. So they just can't, you know, anticipate it's going to be at that location. They're constantly seeing the release point, or maybe they're not. But if they are, shouldn't they be better at hitting because they've been working on this for so long behind home plate?
Yeah, you would think so. But it is a little bit different. You know, the way the brain's processing, it's a little bit different. And I don't think guys are that good at picking the ball up out of the release point as catchers. I think they're good at just kind of generally seeing and generally reacting. And, you know, part of it is because they know what the pitch is. They know what's coming along.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, if you were a hitter and you knew exactly what was coming, yeah, you could probably get away with bad visual habits. And there are some players out there, as you know, that are really good guess hitters. I say that kind of jokingly, but they are guess hitters. And they'll run into some balls because they did a good job at guessing. But the guys who are consistent and you know, I don't like this necessarily word, but that bear down on the task at the time of action, they tend to do well. So sometimes catchers, you know, when the runner's on base, they bear down a little bit more. So they get a little bit more visual because they're like, oh, I got to see this ball a little bit better. But they get into usually bad habits of just kind of generally seeing it in their soft focus. And our brain likes to be in soft focus. So we're not in that best learning behavior in soft focus, but we can generally do stuff on it.
You know, and we probably, like you said, we assume all this that the catcher knows all this. And you know what I'm thinking about? My good friend Ryan Cienko, a top catching coach with the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, Ryan talked about some catchers, you know, or all catchers, they need to anticipate where the ball's going to be because they got to be there before the ball gets there. Well, if I believe, and this is just me, if they were working on their visual training more, again, here we go, talking about visual training being number one, now they can beat the ball to the spot a lot better because they see it a lot earlier. So, you know, that's just me. That I think that everybody should be working on training. And you mentioned training your muscles.
Well, let me.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
There's a couple points to this, and this is why vision can be very difficult. But first of all, the simple point here is you have point A to point B of where that ball is going to travel. From the release point's point A, the glove is point B. That's the most amount of time that ball's in flight. Anytime you don't see it early enough to point A, anytime you don't see it all the way to point B, you're shortening that time, which is speeding everything up. So the guys who can control that and see longer slow things down a lot easier. Now, on a separate note with these catchers, the problem with sometimes when they're hitting is they have a lot on their mind, but also these guys take a lot of hits to their head as well. These foul tips that are going off the mask. So there is a lot of undiagnosed concussion issues with some of these guys that they don't see as well. Now, I don't want to get off in the concussion side too much, but I can tell you, especially my rude research on most players that I know that suffer from concussion issues in the pros, they struggle when they come back to hitting. It's a visual problem. They all say the game sped up on them. They're not recognizing things nearly as well. So we take a proactive way of getting those eyes to work. But if these guys as a catcher are getting banged and sometimes the brain's not using both eyes, so they're not seeing depth nearly as well. They're not seeing change of velocity nearly as well. And that carries over into their hitting side. So not just the training from I want to get better, but training from the fact of I want to get healthier as well is important.
Well, which means we need to look into even more technology when it comes to the mask, because of the hits, but also the umpire. I mean, the umpires get hit a lot. You know, it could affect some of their visual tracking there. Awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, you also mentioned training your visual muscles. Give our coaches. Are there a couple things that a coach can do with their players to train, or players can do to train their muscles in their eyes?
Well, there's 14 muscles in the eyes, 7 in each, 12 that are involved in tracking the ball. And, the truth is most of us don't have the ocular muscle control that takes us, gives us high-level depth perception or high-level visual skills. Now, like I said, you can have average and still be good. But these 14 muscles sometimes and this is something, again, back to the beginning about what I learned from my dad, is how people see. And we can evaluate how these muscles are functioning and tell hitters, this is how you hit. And it still blows my mind that we could do that. But the fact is, if someone's way in front of a ball and you're telling them, stay back, it might be how their eye muscles are functioning. Or you tell someone to speed up and they can't speed up. It may be how their eye muscles are functioning, that they're not aiming in the right spot. They're not processing that information. So if you think about the eye muscles a little bit like your arm muscles, is they function and curl and extend. And that's what the eye muscles are doing, is they're curling and extending. And as a hitter, and you could take your fingers, and since we got this on the radio, if everyone's sitting where they're sitting, point their fingers straight across the room, just like their eyes, and then get into a hitter's position and notice how those muscles flex or extend. And then when they track a ball, how they have to flex and extend. So the eye muscles function in the movement, and the more we can get control of that, it's not the only answer, but it's part of the solution.
Absolutely. And folks, you're probably wondering how come I didn't ask certain questions, and I'll tell you why. Because Ryan has been on the show a few times, and there's some past episodes that you need to catch up on. I think will help you a great deal. Things that we covered that were not covered in this section. So go back and listen to those episodes. They're outstanding. Hey Ryan, we got I'm just guessing, but this is a skill that needs to be trained every day when you're at practice. This isn't once a week. This needs to be trained all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's different portions. And like I said earlier, whatever station you guys have or whatever area that you're working with your athletes, there's always something that you can add a visual component to. For instance, the other day I had a hockey player that was training his endurance, and I don't even know the technical term, but he was on the bike going hard, and then he was off for a while, then he was on, and then he was off. And in between, we were working his eye skills, and it was tough for him. And part of it was because he was breathing hard, and all that fatigue was setting in. So whether guys are at the field, instead of just standing around, they can be tracking balls differently. They can be looking for different visual cues on the pitcher. They can be looking at how the hitter does things. There's always something that every position or every athlete can be doing to train vision, whether it's a visual skill or a visual tactic on the field.
Yeah, and on your website, you have evaluate, train, and teach. Now, so baseball coaches, they come to you. You know, if I had a team, I'd come to you with my team, and I'd have, first thing I would do is what? Have you evaluate their visual skills, then what? Identify individually what they need to work on, and then give them certain drills that they need to do in practice, so everything's individualized?
In a best case scenario, you know, we do a lot of individual stuff, so when teams come and we evaluate, depending on obviously how much time we have to evaluate and get all the right information we need to. But, you know, from the coaching standpoint, I mentioned to you earlier that we will be doing coaching kind of classes, certifications of things to look for and things to be able to teach and things to manipulate, whether Absolutely. It's on an individual basis or a team basis. Mm-hmm. And there's some things you're already doing. You just need a little bit of tweak to make that a little bit better. Of adding a visual component to that. So there's a variety of things. And I think, you know, again, going back and keeping it simple for people that don't have the time or the energy or the monies or anything like that is, you know, make sure your kids get their eyes checked. You know, you can consult with a local doctor and talk to him, you know, depending on the level of team, and get those kids a visual analysis. Give them some awareness, visual awareness of what they're looking at, what they're not looking at. There are a lot of tools out there. Some of it I call eye candy. And eye candy may not be game changer to 90% of the people, but you know what? It gives them something to think about, and it gives a little bit of change to the game. And there's a lot of tools you can buy. And then there's some lessons you can learn. And think about it on your own. Is ask those questions. Why did that kid do that? Well, what did he see? How did he see that? What if he saw that differently? Would that change what he can do? And maybe he doesn't have the physical abilities to do the task, but if we make sure they have the visual task, you might find the physical ability come through.
All right, Ryan, this has been outstanding, and I cannot thank you enough for your time. This has been great, but I want you to tell our audience about you're going to have another website, ndvperformance.com. Tell us a little bit what that's all about.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to partner up with a new company called Neurodynamic Vision, and we're developing a new site called ndvperformance.com. And this is going to be an education and training site where we're going to develop educational programs for coaches, trainers, and doctors. And also some new training tools and videos that will be available for other people to learn from. So that's kind of exciting new stuff that we'll be launching very soon.
All right. We will put that on our show notes. Ryan, anything else? I know vision, we're not going to cover vision for everybody within an hour, but is there something that you wanted to mention? We always like to end it this way. Something you wanted to mention about vision training, or, you know, the coaches, players, or parents around the world in the U.S. That might be able to help them out a little bit more? Something I didn't get to ask that question that you really wanted to cover?
It's probably a lot of stuff, Peter, in that question. But I think the key thing is be open to it. Learn as much as you can. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. I think that's what coaches tend to be, is afraid to ask the questions. They want to be the expert, but you know what? We're all learning every day. And the more questions we can ask, the better information we can help our youth or the players we're coaching. So I encourage, you know, even from me, if they have any questions or challenges or concerns, reach out to me and I'll give them our point of view and take it for what it's worth. And hopefully that'll help you take your game to another level.
All right, folks. Hey, listen, it's a game changer, vision training. I hope from this episode, you know, and the other two that Ryan was on, you really start to understand how important vision is when it comes to everything you do in life, but I'm focusing on baseball. It seems to control everything. It controls your body, controls everything you do. So we've got to push the vision training as best we can, work with our young kids, start somewhere, get a hold of Ryan. I certainly understand slow the game down, why it's called slow the game down, because if you could really slow it down, then obviously you can be a lot more successful at the game. So pick the skill that's number one visual aspect. It is vision training. Again, Ryan, thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. We're going to keep pushing this. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Make sure that if you can, go on our social media, Baseball Outside the Box. Check it out on Twitter and Facebook. Forward it to all your guests. We'll put all of Ryan's stuff on the show notes. Thank you to all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. And if we had some new listeners, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'd love to hear all your comments, your questions. Email me at petercaliendo@att.net. Hey, special thanks to Brian Kroc, our producer from the Lineup Media Group. And again, Ryan Harrison from Slow the Game Down. Check him out on slowthegamedown.com and his Twitter, Slow the Game Down. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hey, have a great coaching day, and I will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.